Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Thank you for taking time to join us as we take time to learn from God's Word together. The message you are about to hear comes from the Cape Elizabeth Church of the Nazarene in Cape Elizabeth, Maine. Listen to more sermons or learn more about the church at our website, capenazarene.org.
Good morning, everyone. First, I'd just like to say thank you so much for opening your doors here this morning to have me here. What a humbling experience this is going to be. Wow. About 3.5 years ago, I was at a praise team practice at the South Portland Church, and it happened to be that night we had no child care, and my wife wasn't with me. So on the way home, I was alone. And on the way home, the Lord spoke to me. He said, "Leo, it's time." And I said, "Lord, time for what?" "It's time to get real." And I had to stop and think about it. What was he saying to me? And then it hit me. He was calling me to come into the ministry full time. But like any mature Christian would do, "Give me a sign." I really didn't do that, but I was thinking of that. That was a joke, by the way. And so a million things were going through my head. "Lord, not me. Remember? I was a drunk, alky. I was a cheater. I stole. I was a liar. You don't want me." He says, "Yes, I do." And so I get home, and I come in the house, and I say to Kate, my wife, and I said, "Kate, I need to talk to you." And she said, "What's up?" I go, "You need to sit down. I need to tell you something." And she said, "What's going on?" I said, "I think the Lord has called me into full-time ministry." And she says, "Well, it's about time. I've been praying for 10 years. There's my sign. I knew something was up. I knew something was up. But that wasn't the end of it, because I still had questionings of myself. I was thinking, "Lord, being a pastor, I have to read. I don't like to read. I'm not a good speller. I'm not a good reader. And I don't even like to talk in public. And you want me here." So there was a crossroads in my life at that point. I had to make a decision. Do I put my faith in the Lord that he has called me to do something way outside my comfort zone? Or do I go back to being the lead guitarist to the praise team, which, by the way, is a great gig, being the lead guitarist? I chose to follow the Lord through faith. And here I am today, November 25th, 2018, preaching my first sermon at Cape Elizabeth Nazarene Church. So thank you. What is faith? According to the Webster Dictionary, faith is an unquestioning belief that does not require proof or evidence. Though the Webster Dictionary says we don't need evidence to have faith, as Christians, we do have evidence in our faith. Faith, a belief, a trust, a loyalty to a person or thing. Christians find relationship, security, and hope in God as revealed in Jesus Christ. It's a unique relationship to God and the Holy Spirit through love, obedience, as expressed in the lives of discipleship and service. Faith is only as good as the object in which we place it. How important is faith in the Bible? The NIV, faith, appears 458 times. Faith is where the promises and work of God are made real to the people who love him. Paul knew this. Ephesians, we are saved by faith. Romans 1, we live by faith. Romans 4, we receive righteousness by faith. Ephesians again, 2. It is by grace that we have been saved through faith. And this is not from ourselves. It is a gift of God. I'd like to read a little story of the gentleman named George Mueller. His early life was not marked by righteousness. On the contrary, he was a thief, a liar, and a gambler. At the age of 10, Mueller was stealing government money from his father. While he was dying, he, at the age of 14, was playing cards with his friends and drinking. Mueller's father hoped to provide him with a religious education that would allow him to take a position as a clergyman in the state church. Mueller studied divinity at Haley, and there he met a fellow student, Beda, who invited him to a Christian prayer meeting, which changed Mueller's perspective. He was welcomed and began regularly reading the Bible and discussing Christianity with the others in attendance. After seeing a man on his knees praying to God, he was convinced that he needed of his need for salvation. He went to his bed, knelt down and prayed, and asked God to help him in his life and bless him wherever he went and forgive him of his sins. He immediately stopped drinking, stealing, lying, and developed hope in becoming a missionary rather than a comfortable clergyman that his father had envisioned him. One day, he was crossing the Atlantic in August of 1877. His ship ran into a thick fog. He explained to the captain that he needed to be in Quebec by the following afternoon, but the captain, Joseph, later known as Holy Joe, said that he was slowing down the ship for safety and Mueller's appointment would have to be missed. Mueller asked to use the chart room to pray for the lifting of the fog. The captain followed him down, claiming it would be a waste of time. After Mueller prayed a very simple prayer, the captain started to pray, but Mueller stopped him, partly because of the captain's unbelief, but mainly because he believed the prayer had already been answered. Mueller said, "Captain, I have known my Lord for more than 50 years, and there is not one instance that I have failed to have an audience with the king. Get up, Captain, for you will find that the fog has gone." When the two men went back to the bridge, they found the fog had lifted, and Mueller was able to keep his appointment. The captain became a Christian shortly afterward, a man of faith. So how does faith affect our lives? I wrote down a few points here that we probably really don't think about all the time. Number one, you get in your car and you drive on faith. You don't know if you're going to make it to your destination alive or not, but you go. You have faith that the food we buy that is grown by strangers is not harmful, so you eat it. You have faith that the doctors you see are qualified, so you put yourself in their hands. Today's scripture is going to be Hebrews 11, 1 through 12, and I asked my wife, Kate, if she would come up and share that with you.
Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. By faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offering. And by faith, he still speaks, even though he is dead. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased the Lord. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. By faith, Abram, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land, like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, Abraham, even though he was past age, and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father because he considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore.
Thank you, Kate. So as I was preparing this message, I asked myself a question. Why would the writer of Hebrews throw in three-quarters of the way of the book a chapter on faith? Let's look back for a second. Remember that the writer of Hebrews is talking to the second generation Jewish Christians who were being persecuted for their faith in Jesus and wanted to go back to Judaism and put their faith back into Moses. In chapter 1 through 6, the writer talks about Jesus being superior over the angels and Moses. In chapter 7, we see that the writer is stating that Jesus being like Melchizedek. Well, Melchizedek was king of Salem and the priest of Most High. He was someone who pointed to Jesus in the Old Testament. Melchizedek means king of righteousness, and king of Salem means king of peace. But the writer goes on. In chapter 8, he talks about the high priest of the new covenant. Chapter 9, the blood of Christ. Chapter 10, Christ's sacrifice once for all. The writer is telling him that Jesus is above all, to trust in the Jesus. So you would think that it would encourage them to continue to follow Jesus, but you see, their faith was going back to what they visually could see in the world, not the invisible realities of God. He ends Hebrews 10 with this. We do not belong to those who shrink back and are destroyed, but to those who have faith and are saved. I think that the writer was saying, picture an adult having kids, and you're trying to share with your kids something.
That's right.
And you're just not getting to them. Right? You're not getting to them. You take another approach. Right? People who have kids know that, right? You take another approach, and hopefully they understand a little bit better of what you're trying to teach them. And I believe the writer kind of went there. And what I'd like to do is I'd like to go into Hebrews 4, where we have what I call the faith witnesses. He brings the elders into play to remind them of their faith. Hebrews 1 does say, remember, that faith is an assurance of things hoped for and the confidence of things not seen. Indeed, by faith, our ancestors received approval. They all received approval. So let's look into that. I wrote down 4 points here, if you're taking notes. Point number one, faith worshiping. Hebrews 11:4 says, by faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. By faith, he commanded as a righteous man. Now, we've all heard the story of Cain and Abel. Two brothers bringing their sacrifice to God. Cain, a farmer, brought the fruits from the ground he worked. And Abel, a shepherd, brought the sheep from his flock. So what do we know about Abel's faith that caused him to worship God? Number one, God had revealed true way of worship, and Abel obeyed God by faith. Genesis 4:4, but Abel brought an offering of the firstborn of his flocks and of the fat parts, and God showed favor to Abel in his gift. He brought it to a place of sacrifice. It was natural for Abel's faith in God to manifest itself in a blood sacrifice. A sacrifice that pointed to the Messiah. In fact, Abel's obedience caused him his life. To me, Abel had an attitude. And his attitude was to God. And because of his attitude, he worshiped the right way. How often do we come on a Sunday morning and our attitude is quite not where it should be. The praise team is playing music I don't like, so I'm not going to get up and sing. The pastor, well, this is 2 weeks in a row, he doesn't really feed me, so I'm going to go look at another church. It's all about attitude. Abel had the attitude. But Cain didn't. Cain had an issue with God. Cain had pride, selfishness, jealousy. 1 John says this. This is a little harsh. This is how we know who the child of God are and who the child of the devil are. Anyone who does not do what is right is not God's child, nor is anyone who does not have love for their brother or sister. For this is the message who you heard from the beginning. You should love one another. Do not be like Cain, who belonged to the evil one and murdered his brother. It was an attitude. He had the wrong attitude. Cain didn't have faith. He was religious, but he was not righteous. Cain did not walk with God, but Enoch did. And that takes us to point number two, faith walking. Faith made Enoch walk with God. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. Wow. What will it be like the day when we face our Creator and he looks at you and he says, I'm pleased? Why? Enoch just walked with God. But that's huge. That is very huge. Why was God pleased? Enoch was pleasing to God because he not only lived his life by faith in God of the heavens and earth, he also lived his life in intimate communion with God. Very little said about him, and yet he is mentioned in Hebrews 11 as one of the hall of faith. Our faith in God grows as we have fellowship with him. That's what God asks us to do. What's that mean? Disciplines. Do we pray constantly with God? Do we meditate on his word every day? Do we fast? Do we worship? All of these help us with our walk with God. I remember one of my classes that we did with Pastor Richard Waller. And in that class, one of the things that we had to do was to spend 4 hours alone with God, a Bible, a piece of paper, and a piece of pencil. 4 hours away from everything in life except God and the Bible. And I have to say to you today that that changed my life. The relationship and the connection I made with him, and I'm pretty sure all students who go to that class will say the same thing. A connection you can't explain. It's just there. And that's what Enoch did. He walked with God. He communed with God daily. That was what he did. So in our busy schedules, we must find in our hearts the desire to spend a quiet time with God and the willingness to seek him. So if God was pleased with Enoch, is God pleased with us? Let's think about a few things here. Is God pleased with the places we choose for recreation? Is God pleased with the books we read or what we watch on TV? Is God pleased with the words we use or the way we talk to each other? Is God pleased with the plans we've made for our future? That's funny. I remember someone come up to me one day and says, hey, Leo, do you know how to make God laugh? And I'm thinking, no. Tell God your plans. Hey, all right, yeah. Tell God your plans. And that will make God laugh. Because we know that God has the better plan. So Enoch's faith delivered him from death. What does that tell us? God has a different plan for each of us who trust in him. If you remember, Abel died of a violent death, but Enoch never died. A scholar wrote this, and I thought it was pretty nice. These are the two doors into heaven. Those who die and live by way of being raised up on the other side of death, and those who are alive in Christ coming and are simply carried into the bliss of the eternal life apart from the experiencing death. What a beautiful picture. Our walk of faith has always delivered us from death, the death called damnation. A little girl was trying to tell the story of Enoch, and she related it this way. Enoch and God, she said, used to take a long walk together. And one day, they walked further than usual. God said to Enoch, "You must be tired after this long walk. Come into my house and rest." What a beautiful picture. This brings us to point number three. Faith working. Faith made Noah work for God. Wow. You mean if I have faith, Lord, you're going to make me work? No, that's not what that means. Right? If we have faith in something, we want to work. We have a desire to do something in what we believe in. And Noah had a desire to do what God asked him to do because of his faith. By faith, Noah warned by God that events yet unseen. Noah's faith involved his whole person. Number one, his mind was warned of God. His heart was moved with fear. His will acted on what God told him to do. And Noah, his faithful manifested itself in real works. James 2:26 says, "As the body is with Out spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead." Another scholar painted this beautiful picture. Noah built an ark because he believed in God. Every swing of his axe said faith. Every fallen tree said faith. Every swing of his hammer said faith. Think about it. Here's Noah going about his business. God comes around, "Hey, Noah, I need to do something. I need you to build an ark. Oh, about 70 acres long." You know, think about that. That's how, you know, that's huge. So I think Noah took out his power tools, did all that kind of stuff. Oh, yeah, that's right. There's no power tools. This is all by hand. And then God says to him, "Yeah, I need you to build the ark because I'm going to flood the world." And Noah's going to be like, "What? Flood the world? What's that?" Noah didn't even know what rain was, because up to this time there was no rain. There were sprinkles, but there was no rain. So here's God telling him to build an ark because he's going to flood the world and it's going to rain. Now that's faith. That is faith. God provided a way for Noah and his family's salvation by shutting them in the ark. He is willing to do the same for you today. It's never too late for new beginnings because God will always provide a way. And that's what God did for Noah and his family. He provided a way for them. The world was evil. It was destroying itself. But Noah was faithful. And God protected him. And God can protect us as well today. Point number four, faith waiting. Yay, everybody loves to wait. The patriarchs. We have Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. We have four generations of faith. These men failed at times, but they were men of faith. They were not perfect, but they loved God and trusted in his word. In verses 9, 11, and 13, we see a section that emphasizes on God's promises and plans for the nation of Israel through Abraham. Abraham was a great example of being able to wait. Why? Because while he was waiting, he obeyed. Point number one, he obeyed when he did not know where he was going. He obeyed when he did not know how God's will would be accomplished. And both Abraham and Sarah, being too old to have kids, believed that God would do a miracle. How are we doing on waiting? So what's the writer trying to prove here? The writer is saying, you remember all the elders? You remember their faith? You can have the same faith if you trust in the Lord. You can have the same faith. I'd like to close with a story here. James was walking along a steep cliff when he accidentally got too close to the edge and fell. On the way down, he grabbed a branch, which temporarily stopped his fall. He looked down, and to his horror, he saw the cannon fell straight down for more than 1,000 feet. Couldn't hang on to the branch forever, and there was no way for him to climb up the steep wall of the cliff. So James began yelling for help, hoping that someone passing by would hear him and lower the rope or something. Help! Help! Is anyone up there? Help! He yelled for a long time, but no one heard him. He was about to give up when he heard a voice. James. James, can you hear me? Yes, yes, I can hear you. I'm down here. Can you see me? James, are you all right? Yes, but who are you? And where are you? I am the Lord, James. I'm everywhere. The Lord? You mean God? That's me. God, please help me. I promise, if you get me down from here, I'll stop sinning, I'll be a really good person, and I'll serve you for the rest of my life. Easy on the promises, James. Let's get off from here first, then we will talk. Now, here's what I want you to do. Listen carefully. I'll do anything, Lord. You tell me what to do. Okay. Let go of the branch and have faith in me. What? I said, let go of the branch. Just trust in me. Let go. And it was a long silence. Finally, James yelled, help! Help! Is anyone else up there? You probably heard that one, but that's a beautiful picture, right? Where do we put our faith? On the things we see every day or the invisible things that we do not see and put our trust? In closing, faith is vitally important in the life of a Christian. It is by faith that we are saved, justified, cleansed, and hoped to the returning of Jesus. Faith is where you please God, admit your dependency upon him, and continually seek and rely upon him in his grace. His plan ultimately provides a way for you and me to come to salvation. God sees a bigger picture, so we must trust him even when we don't understand his ways. I'd like to close by just asking a few questions to think about. What has faith changed in your life? What are faith's evidence in your life? And is faith growing in your life? Let's pray. Well, dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this day and your incredible word, Lord, and this great picture of faith in these people. And Lord, I just pray that we will find faith the same way as we continue to walk in you, knowing that your faithfulness and your promises will always be there for us, Lord. Great is your faithfulness and all that you do, Lord. We love you, Lord, and may we seek you daily and feel your presence right by our sides. Thank you, Lord, for this time together. And all of God's people said, amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. Thank you for joining us for this sermon podcast. We hope that the message has inspired you to draw closer to God each day. May God bless you as you serve Him today.